Hello and welcome back to another bonus episode of the Culips English Podcast. How is it going? I hope you are doing well. My name is Andrew. I will be your host and your English study buddy for today. And in our bonus episode series, what I do is I just tell you some stories from my life, my everyday adventures as a Canadian living abroad in South Korea. And I hope that by listening to my stories and following along, you will be able to build your English fluency, increase your cultural knowledge of the culture of English-speaking people and the things that we talk about and the things that we like. You will be able to grow your vocabulary and ultimately, at the end of the day, become a better English communicator. That is why we're here. That is why we are spending some time together studying English today is to Big B. Now, I have a few announcements before I get into the start of today's episode in earnest. Announcement number one is for all Culips members. If you're listening to this episode right now and you are a Culips member, I have good news for you. The good news is that we will be holding the next Culips live stream for members very, very soon. In fact, it will be happening on Tuesday, March 26th at 8:30 p.m. Korean Standard Time. So if you're a Culips member, this is one of the benefits and bonuses that you get as a member is that you can join us each month for the live stream. And the live stream will be happening on our Discord server, and I'll put the link in the description for this episode to our Discord server so that if you are a Culips member but you haven't joined us on Discord yet, you can get that set up and going so that you can join the live stream. Now, during the live stream, I will be joined by my co-host Alina, and what we do during the live streams is we interact with our member community, we chat with each other. If you want to call in and talk with us directly, you can join Alina and I on the stage, and we usually have a member or two or sometimes three call us each time that we do a live stream. So it's always fun to chat with members of the Culips community like that. And it's always really enjoyable. So you can definitely call in and talk with us. And we're also going to play a game together called 21 Questions. And Alina is preparing that. So I'm not exactly sure what she's got up her sleeve for that game, but it should be fun. And I think it's going to be a mixture of Culips related questions, maybe about some of the topics and vocabulary that we've covered, maybe about some Culips history, some trivia, I'm not sure, something like that. So it should be a good time. And if you are a Culips member, please join us for the live stream on March 26th, coming up very, very soon. I also want to gently remind you that episode number 100 of our bonus episode series is coming up very soon. We are on bonus episode 95 right now, and so 100 is coming up soon. And to celebrate our 100th episode of the bonus episode series, I need your help. I would like to feature you in this episode. That's how we're going to celebrate, is by sharing the voices of our listeners from around the world in bonus episode number 100. So I would like you to send me your stories. It could be a story about anything, maybe about your life or your culture or your daily adventures, the kind of stories that I usually share with you. So I'm going to ask you to send me your audio story, just a quick little story about really anything that you would like. And I'm going to compile all of these stories and put them together for bonus episode 100. The way that you can send me your audio story is by email. My address is andrew@culips.com. I'm also going to make a Google form. Maybe that might be more convenient for some of you. And so you can just fill out the form and attach your audio file to that form and send it to me that way. I'll put the link to the Google form in the description for this episode. Just follow the link and you can do that. That should be pretty easy and pretty straightforward. Or else you could always send it to me through Discord as well. DM it to me or DM it to Alina and she will send them to me and we'll put them all together. And that's what we'll do for bonus episode number 100. So I've received quite a few stories already, but there's always room for more. So thank you to everyone who's already sent a story in. And oh, I made a deadline for this as well. Now you have a deadline for your homework project. So if you could send it to me by April 21st, that should give me enough time to compile all of the stories, to put them all together, and to make an episode. So you have not too much longer, under a month to go. So go, 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 record your story and send it in to me, and you can be featured on Culips. How cool is that? So what I want to talk to you about today is the thrilling conclusion to last week's bonus episode, where I talked about getting prepared to run the Seoul Marathon. Well, I did the marathon, I ran it, I finished it last Sunday, and today I'm going to tell you about that experience and some of the highs and lows of running the Seoul Marathon. And I'll get to my stories in just a moment, but first, a quick announcement about Culips membership. The best way to improve your English with Culips is by becoming a Culips member. Membership can help you take your English skills to the next level and become a confident English speaker. As a Culips member, you'll get unlimited access to all of the learning materials that our amazing team of teachers create to help you improve your English faster than ever. Some of the benefits you get as a member include interactive transcripts and helpful study guides for all of our regular episodes, plus ad-free audio, so you don't have to listen to ads like this if you are a Culips member. You'll also get an invitation to our monthly live streams where you can hang out and practice English with me, with our Discord moderator, Alina, who is my co-host for the live streams, and of course with the other members of the Culip member community. Plus, you also get some special exclusive bonuses like access to our member-only series, The Fluency Files, and so much more. And the best thing is, this all comes at an affordable price. So to join the Culips member club and become a member today and start improving your English with us, just visit our website, culips.com. You can learn all of the details and you can sign up there, or you can just follow the link that we'll put in the description for this episode. Okay, and now let's get started with my story about running the Seoul Marathon. Enjoy! In bonus episode 94, I talked about preparing and getting ready for the Seoul Marathon. Well, everybody, I did it. I did the marathon. And in today's episode, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that experience. I'm laughing because talking about marathons is something that I can do very well. I love talking about running. I can go on and on and on about it. I don't know. It's one of those topics that's really, really fascinating for me. And I love talking about it with my friends who are into running. I love listening to people talk about running on podcasts and on YouTube. I realize this topic isn't for everyone, so I won't go into too many details about my running experience at the marathon. But I will give you some updates because I got a lot of messages and comments after posting the last episode asking me to share some updates once I've finished. So I thought I would do that in today's episode. So last week where we left things off was I was telling you about how my running buddy Jimmy was coming up to Seoul to join me to participate in the Seoul Marathon and we were going to run it together. So the marathon was on Sunday. Jimmy came up on Friday evening. We hung out, had some dinner together on Friday, and then we met up on Saturday as well. And we just took it easy. We did a little bit of sightseeing and shopping in Seoul because Jimmy doesn't come to the city too often, but we didn't want to tire ourselves out before the marathon. So we didn't do too much walking around, just for a couple of hours. And then we actually came back to my house and we hung out on Saturday night, but we ended things pretty early. We both wanted to get to bed early because we had a big day the next day for the marathon. So I think I was in bed by like 10 p.m. maybe the day before the run. So that would have been Saturday night. I was in bed with the lights off under the covers by 10 p.m., which is pretty early for me. I like to go to bed early, and I always have this goal of going to bed at like 10:30 or 11, but usually in reality, it's after midnight by the time the lights are off and I'm under the covers and I'm actually trying to fall asleep. So that was quite a bit earlier for me than usual, and I guess I was just really excited about the race coming up the next day. I couldn't sleep very well. I had a terrible sleep, and we needed to be up by 5 a.m. to prepare and get ready for the race. The starting gun went off at 8 a.m., and that was for the elite international runners, but my starting group, there are like different starting groups and different starting times for various groups of runners. And yeah, the elites, the really professional, high level runners, they go first. They left at 8 a.m. And then I think there were maybe 7 or 8 different groups, depending on your fitness level and a bunch of different factors, I think. But I was the next group. And Jimmy was the group after me. So I was group A, Jimmy was group B, and I think it went all the way back to G. By the way, I told you last week that I thought originally there were 50,000 people participating in the marathon. And then when I said that, I thought, oh, that doesn't sound right. I think it's actually maybe around 20,000 or something. But I found out the number, there were 38,000 people who participated in this marathon. So a huge amount of people running, really, really cool. But anyways, the starting gun went off at 8 a.m. for the elites and 8:03 a.m. for me. So that meant that Jimmy and I, we had to be at the starting line for the marathon by around 7 a.m. We wanted to do some warm-up exercises. There was a bag check because the starting line of the marathon and the finish line of the marathon were in two totally different places, a marathon lengths away from each other. So they're around 42 kilometers away from each other. So obviously, when you finish the race, you want to have some clothes to change into, maybe some snacks or some water, something like that. So you have to check your bag, and the marathon staff would transport your bag to the finish line for you. So we needed to check our bags by 7:30 a.m. So yeah, that means that it's a pretty early morning. You have to get up and get ready. I got up at 5 a.m., like I said, and yeah, I didn't sleep very well before the marathon. I don't know if I was nervous or what, but it was just one of those sleeps where I was tossing and turning, and I felt like I didn't really sleep at all. After I looked at my sleep data, because I wear a watch, one of those smart watches that can track that kind of thing, and my sleep was really terrible, really poor. I think I only got about 4 hours of sleep. So I think I was running more on adrenaline during the race day than I was on rest, which is, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but sometimes nervous energy and adrenaline can actually help you out quite a bit. So for whatever reason, I didn't sleep well, but I didn't feel too tired in the morning. I woke up, like I mentioned, around 5 a.m. and I had just a light breakfast, a bagel and some coffee. And my wife was still sleeping, of course, because why would she wake up at 5 a.m.? So I was trying to be a little bit quiet, as I was getting ready in the morning. And I have a pair of Bluetooth headphones. So I put some Bluetooth headphones on and I played some pump up music to try and get me all fired up for the race. I was really trying to get in this like excited state, like, come on, you can do it. You can break your personal record. If you didn't listen to last week's episode or you can't remember, my goal for the marathon was to do a sub-3. And a sub-3 means running under 3 hours. So finishing the whole marathon in under 3 hours. My previous personal best in the marathon was 3 hours and 7 minutes. So I knew that I could come close and that I've almost achieved that goal, but I really wanted to do it here at the Seoul Marathon. So I had my Bluetooth headphones on, I had some pump up music going, and I'm usually not a huge fan of heavy metal. I mean, I guess it's cool. I like heavy metal. Don't get me wrong. A lot of my friends play in heavy metal bands or have played in heavy metal bands. And I think it's cool. I think there's a lot of skill in heavy metal, but to be honest, it's not the genre that I find myself listening to too often. But there's this band from Australia called King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. A real wild name, King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. Maybe some listeners out there have heard of these guys before. Really interesting, creative band who constantly redefines themselves. When they first appeared, maybe in the early 2010s, 2012, 2013, around that time, they were a kind of garage rock band, I could say, perhaps. And they were really unique because they had many members in the band, two drummers, just this really big group of guys playing music together, maybe 8 or 9 members. And over the years, they've really changed their sound repeatedly, and they're very prolific. If you're prolific, it means that you release a lot of content. So if you're a prolific writer, it means that you write and release many, many novels. If you're a prolific musician, it means that you write and release many, many albums. And King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard are definitely prolific. They probably put out an album or two each year. It's wild. But what's even crazier than that is that each album is a different genre. Now, it's all kind of within the rock realm, but different takes on rock. Some albums are more indie rock and lighter. Some albums are more prog rock. Some albums are more metal. And the metal music that I listened to help pump me up for the marathon was actually King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. And perhaps I'll see if I can find a few of their songs on YouTube and link them in the episode description here for you to check them out. I don't think I can play their music in the episode here without getting a copyright strike. But if you haven't heard them before and you like metal music or you like any kind of indie or rock music, definitely check out King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. They're one of the more creative acts out there these days. So anyways, yeah, I had my bagel, I had my coffee, I had my headphones on, I had the heavy metal pumping, and I was psyching myself up. I was getting myself pumped up for the race. And yeah, around 6:15 or so, 6:30, Jimmy came over to my place. We met up and we went down to the starting line together, which was in Gwanghwamun. If you're familiar with Seoul, it's like the main city square in downtown Seoul, right in front of the former Royal Palace, a really beautiful, cool area in downtown Seoul. We got down there and the weather was pretty terrible. It was colder than we had anticipated, maybe 3 or 4 degrees at that time in the morning. Maybe a little warmer than that, but I don't know. It felt like it was around 3 or 4 degrees. And the other thing was, it was raining. I forgot to mention that. When I woke up in the morning, I looked outside and it was raining. And I was like, oh no, this is terrible. This is like the worst case scenario that I could imagine was rain. I mean, I guess it's better than snow, but yeah, rain was not what I wanted to see. Anyways, thankfully the rain had stopped by the time that we arrived in the starting area. And so we quickly checked our bags and then we did a couple of warm-up laps and just tried to enjoy some of the atmosphere. I mean, Gwanghwamun was buzzing that day. There were so many people down there. The energy was really high. This is what's like cool about running a marathon with thousands of other people, is that the vibes and the atmosphere are just so good. And yeah, you have this really just special, unique kind of festive atmosphere that you can't really experience in any other place. You know, it's not really the same as running by yourself. When you're running with thousands of other people, it's just something special. So that was cool. So we tried to enjoy that as much as we could. And then before you know it, it was time to start. So we got into our starting corrals. That's like the area where you are supposed to start according to the letter that you've been assigned. And like I said, the elites go first. They are the first starting corral, and then A, B, C, D, E all the way to, I think, G or H. There were many different corrals and it was a staggered start. That's what we could call this kind of start, where not everybody goes at once, but they stagger it corral by corral. So the elites went at 8 a.m. on the dot. And then 3 minutes later, I left. And then 3 minutes later, I think it was intervals of 3 minutes. And I guess, yeah, that's just a way to make sure that everybody doesn't run each other over. Because if you have thousands and thousands of runners running on these narrow streets, it can get pretty intense. One of the things that was really cool and inspiring, and I realized is unique as far as I know. And guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong. If you can think of another example, I'd love to hear about it. But I think this is unique to marathon running, is that at a big international event like this, where you have runners coming in from other countries, you have professionals coming in from other countries to participate as well, you're running together with pro athletes. Like, could you imagine if you got to play baseball, if you're an amateur baseball player and you got to play baseball with the pros, or if you're like an amateur ice hockey player and you got to play ice hockey with the pros? That's pretty special. That's pretty cool. And as a marathon runner in an event like this, you get to run with the pros. So we could see the pros warming up before the start of the race. And, you know, you get to run warm up with them and do warm up exercises with them and see how they warm up. And I could say the way that they warm up is very different than the way that I warm up. Yeah, there's a reason why they're professionals and I'm an amateur. And it's very evident and obvious when you see them do their thing. It's really cool, really inspiring. So I loved that. That was super cool to see those guys and gals warm up like that. So yeah, finally the starting gun went off and we were off. The race started. I won't go into all of the details about the race. I will say that the first half of the race was great for me. I ran it faster than I was anticipating, but that was okay because that was actually my strategy. My strategy was to use the first half of the race to my advantage because I know that I'm good at running for about 30 kilometers before I tend to run out of steam and slow down. So I wanted to use the first 30 kilometers of the race to my advantage to do it kind of quickly and as fast as I could, and then bank some time, have some time to spare so that I could slow down in the second half. And even if I slowed down and ran out of steam and ran out of energy, then I could still achieve my goal of finishing in under 3 hours. So the first half of the marathon was really good, almost perfect, no complaints. I did it quickly. For me, I broke a personal record in the first half. I finished the first half of the race in an hour and 23 minutes, which was 3 minutes faster than I've ever done so before. So I think it really goes to show that when you run with other people, and when you run especially with a bunch of other runners who are at the same level or better than you, then they can really push you. And I felt so motivated by all the people that I was running with. It's really cool just to be running with, yeah, like hundreds of other people who are faster or around the same level as me. So I usually run alone for the most part, but to run with all of those other runners around me was really, really cool. So first half of the marathon, awesome. Second half of the marathon was not as awesome. That's when things started to get painful for me. And I guess I'm still really quite a rookie and an amateur at marathon running. This was only my third marathon that I've ever done. And I think it goes to show the second half was not very pleasant. I started to get heavy legs. I started to feel tired. My cardio was okay. My heart rate wasn't racing or anything like that. My heart rate was pretty low for the whole race, but my legs felt heavy. My hip started to feel tight, and it was just not very fun at the second half of the race. I started to get passed by many, many other runners, people who had timed their race better than me and maybe who started slow at the start and then did the second half quickly. All of those guys passed me, but that didn't matter. I wasn't really worried about, coming in first place or anything. The marathon for me is like a competition against myself. So I just wanted to make sure that I could finish in under 3 hours. And it was great because once I finished the first half of the race, then I could see how much time I had remaining and I could do a calculation in my head. And I was like, okay, if I even go at this pace, which I think is pretty slow and pretty relaxed, then I can still come in under 3 hours. So I did that. I didn't really push myself in the second half. I was like, okay, as long as I maintain this pace that I'm at now, which is comfortable for me, then I can finish in the time that I wanted. So I did that. I kind of took it easy in the second half, but it was still very, very uncomfortable and unpleasant. And going forward in future marathons, that's what I need to focus my attention on, is how can I make the second half of the race as comfortable as the first half of the race. So anyways, the second half of the race was not very fun. And in my head, I was thinking, why am I doing this? Why did I sign up for this marathon? I don't know. Whenever you're in the process of doing the marathon, you're always like, this was such a dumb idea. Why am I doing this again? This is stupid. It's just uncomfortable and unpleasant. But there was a bright part to the second half of the marathon, and that is my wife came and showed up to cheer me on. So it was actually kind of funny because the night before, she was like, I'm going to come out and cheer you guys on. And she was going to stand on the side of the road where the marathon passed by. And so she said, oh, I'll come on this street corner and I'll see you guys there. Look out for me at this street corner. But when I passed that street corner where we made the arrangement for her to be, she wasn't there. So as I was coming up to that block, that intersection, you know, maybe for like 30 or 40 minutes before I had to pass by that area, I was like, oh, it's going to be great to see my wife. I can't wait to see her. And like that, that hope that I had in my mind really encouraged me and cheered me on to go fast so that I could just run really quickly by my wife and impress her, I guess. But anyways, I got to that block, I ran by it, and she wasn't there. And it was really disappointing. I was like, oh, where's my wife? You know, all along the whole race, there are spectators and people cheering you on. And you always hear other people around you. You can hear their names being called out by their friends or their family members. And so I was really wanting somebody to be like, Andrew, go, go, go. And I knew that my wife was planning on coming. So when she wasn't there, I was really disappointed. And I was like, oh, doesn't she know that this is important to me? Why isn't she here? But I tried to think on the positive side. And I was like, Andrew, you're just going too fast that she missed the timing. So I just thought of it that way and continued on with the race. A little bit disappointed, but I just put it behind me. But the good news is, a couple of kilometers later, when we passed the next subway stop, then she was there. So she said exactly that is what happened. Like, she missed the timing a little bit, and she thought that if she went to the original meeting spot, that she would be too late. So she decided to go a little bit down the marathon course instead. And so that was really awesome. It was great to have her cheer me on and really gave me a little boost during some of the darker moments of the marathon. Anyways, yeah, getting that boost of encouragement from my wife spurred me on. And to spur on, that's a cool phrasal verb, which means to push you or encourage you. A spur is something that a horse rider wears on their boot to, this is a little mean, I don't really like this image, but you know, it's like a sharp little circle, a spur. And when a cowboy or a horse rider kicks the horse with their boot and that spur, it pokes the horse and encourages or forces the horse to run faster, right? So my wife spurred me on, she encouraged me, and I was able to finish the marathon in 2 hours and 57 minutes and 37 seconds. So I did it. I achieved my goal. I got the sub 3, and that was awesome. And shortly after I finished, just a few moments later, Jimmy finished, and he also broke his PR. He smashed his PR, 3 hours and 14 minutes, I think. So Jimmy is getting way, way faster Like every time I see him, it's crazy. I think last year when he ran the Seoul Marathon, he did it 3 hours and 48 minutes or something like that. So he brought his time down by over 30 minutes in only the course of a year with that consistent training and persistence and sticking with it. You know, I think that's just so awesome and it really encourages me and inspires me. So I love the effort that he put in and I'm so happy that he was able to beat his own PR as well. And like I told him, pretty soon he's going to be faster than me. There's going to be a window really soon where we're actually racing together in the same category. So I think that'll be cool. And then I anticipate that he's going to blow by me and that he will be faster than me very, very soon. So anyways, a great result for me and a great result for Jimmy. And overall, it was just an awesome marathon weekend and I'm really happy about it. Like I said, during the marathon, I hated it. It was very unpleasant and uncomfortable, but now I'm already scheming about what my next marathon will be, what my next goal will be. Now that I've hit sub 3, what should I go for? Sub 255? Sub 250? Who knows? I'll have to make another goal and work towards it because it's just fun to have a goal and it's really rewarding and just feels great when you achieve the goal as well. So it's something that I like to have in my life and something that I will keep having going forward as well. Now, the marathon was on St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th. And St. Patrick's Day is not really a big deal here in Korea, but it's kind of a big deal obviously in Ireland, where the holiday originates, and also in North America, many people like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Now, for those of you who don't know, St. Patrick's Day is an Irish holiday. It's a cultural holiday. It's also a religious holiday, which commemorates the arrival of Christianity in Ireland, and it's a day to celebrate Irish heritage and culture. And I'm not Irish. As far as I know, I haven't done a DNA test. Maybe I do have some Irish roots, but as far as I know, I'm more from the British Isles rather than Ireland. My heritage goes back to Britain instead. But in North America, in Canada and the USA, where Jimmy's from, St. Patrick's Day is just one of those days that many people celebrate, regardless if you're Irish or not. And one of the ways people celebrate is by drinking. It's kind of like a famous drinking day, a day where you might go to the pub and have a pint of Guinness or maybe some Irish whiskey, something like that. So because it was St. Patrick's Day and also because we had just finished the marathon, Jimmy and I decided to celebrate by doing exactly that, by having some Guinness. So we had a couple of pints of Guinness after the race, just as a way to relax and unwind and talk about our experiences of the marathon while we enjoyed our Guinness beer celebrating St. Patrick's Day. We also ordered a pizza. And we ate some pizza and we actually watched, this is super geeky, but we watched the live stream of the marathon on YouTube as well. The whole race is on YouTube. So I'll link the URL of the marathon in the description for this episode if you guys want to check that out. Actually, the pros who finished, I think the first place winner of the whole race, he finished in like 2 hours and 6 minutes. And it was a really amazing finish because the first place guy, whose name is escaping me right now, but I believe he was from Ethiopia, he finished in 2 hours, 6 minutes and like 4 seconds. And then the second place runner was 2 hours, 6 minutes and 5 seconds. And then the third place was 2 hours, 6 minutes and 6 seconds or something like that. So they were all like a second or two apart. It was a neck and neck finish, a really exciting like sprint finish to the marathon. So Jimmy and I watched that while we were drinking our Guinness and eating our pizza because obviously we were in the middle of running and we didn't get to see that exciting finish, but it was cool to check it out on YouTube after. I have to say the rest of the week up until today has been very difficult. I was super, super sore after the run. My legs were sore. My knees were sore. My ankles were sore. My shins were sore. Everything from my hip pretty much to my feet, was super sore all this week. And just walking around is okay, but going up and down stairs has been very, very difficult. So when I take the subway here in Seoul, it's been challenging because there are so many steps that you need to go down to get to the subway and to get out of the subway station. So I've just been hobbling around. I look like I'm a 120-year-old grandpa walking around. I should get like a walking stick or something. Usually I never take the elevator or escalator to get in and out of the subway. It's just my personal philosophy. I think it's good exercise to go up and down the stairs. But this week I made an exception and I rode the elevator and escalator as much as I could to help me get around. But yeah, after a few days now I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling good and I'm ready to get out there and start running again. So anyways, everybody, that was the thrilling conclusion to my marathon saga. I hope that you enjoyed listening to this story. And I promise, I'm not going to yap on about marathoning until the next one, which will definitely be at least 6 months. So I can promise I'm going to keep the podcast marathon and running free as much as possible for the next 6 months. We'll get back to just my daily stories, what I get up to, my everyday adventures. Well, I think this is a good place to end things here. So, of course, thank you for listening and thank you for studying English with me today. If you made it all the way to the end of this episode, I want you to leave a comment in our Discord or on our social media, which will show me and show all of our community that you did this English study session with me. Let's see, what should we use for our keyword for today's episode? Let's go with the word smashed. S-M-A-S-H-E-D, smashed. And the reason I am choosing the word smashed is because I smashed my PR in the marathon and Jimmy smashed his PR in the marathon as well. If you smash a record or smash a personal record, a PR, it means that you broke that record, not just by a little bit, but by a lot. You smashed it. So leave in the comments on the Discord or on our YouTube or on our Instagram with that keyword smashed, and that will indicate to everybody that you smashed this episode and you did a great job studying English with me today. So we'll leave it at here for now, everyone. Take care. I'll be back soon with another brand new QLoops episode, and I'll talk to you then. Goodbye.